From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the second day of November 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in a half hour, we'll take up the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Washington missed a self-imposed farm bill deadline yesterday. The principals are still negotiating, arguing. And Archer Daniels Midland has reported a 30% increase in fiscal first quarter earnings. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And I'll tell you why and how it might be okay for USDA to stop some governmental reports on agriculture in return for a better accounting of ethanol byproducts. Oh, and as we close out our program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contracts and the soft red winter wheat were lower for the day. December contract at $6.23.5, down 6.5. The March at $6.59, down 6.75. Next year's July at $6.98, down 7.25 for the new crop. Soft red hard winter wheat at $7.45 in Kansas City finished down 6.75 of a cent for the afternoon. December corn futures down 9.25 at $6.45. The March $6.56. 9.25 cents lower. May corn $6.62, down 8. July at $6.66, down 7.5. And December futures at $6.05.5, a penny and a half lower for next year. November bean futures $11.93.5, a penny and a quarter higher. January $12.02¾ of a cent, up a quarter. The March at $12.12¼, up a quarter. And May soybeans $12.21¼ higher. July down a quarter at $12.29¾. Next year's November beans at $12.14, up 5¼. December bean meal at $3.10.50, down 20 cents. December bean oil at $50.85. A nickel higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby December contract at $122 even, up 40 cents. November feeders at $142.30, down 55. And lean hogs in December, 67.5 cents lower at $86.87. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures, $92.72 a barrel, 53 cents higher. Ethanol at 278.6, that's up 2.6. Natural gas at 375.3, 2.8 of a cent lower. And diesel fuel for the day at $3 even and 9 of a cent, 2.8 of a cent lower. Gold futures at $1,728.70 an ounce, up $17.70. The Dow at 11,824, about 167 points higher. The dollar at 77.02, down 0.24 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, as it comes from the National Weather Service, says we'll have partly sunny skies today. A high of 68 degrees with south winds at about 13 to 15 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 21. Tonight, showers likely after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy. A low 43 degrees, south-southeast winds at 7 to 10. Chance of precipitation this evening set at 70%. Tomorrow, occasional showers, a high near just 49 degrees. East-northeast winds at 8 to 16, with gust 24. Chance of precip tomorrow, 80%. And then tomorrow night, cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy. A low of 35 degrees, north-northeast winds at 8 to 16. And Friday, sunny skies return, the high just 56 degrees. Friday night, clear and a low of 38. Saturday, sunny and 59. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 46. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies. It'll be breezy, a high of 60 degrees. Sunday night, a chance of showers, partly cloudy, a low of 42. And on Monday, showers, partly sunny, a high near 58 to start the work week. Monday night, showers likely, cloudy, 47. And on Tuesday, showers likely again. It'll be cloudy, a high of 58 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the hour when we talk with meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line this Wednesday afternoon, as usual, is Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been a wild and wacky week and a half with MF Global and what's been happening in Greece. And then, of course, the last 24 hours, we've seen some brand new numbers from FC Stone and Informum. What did you think of those?
Well, as far as the numbers are concerned, just a half inch one way or the other does have a big impact on the marketplace. The Informa Group inched corn and soybeans bigger than the last USDA report, and as well as FC Stone. So, you know, I guess the bottom line here is that these two private agencies are talking and guessing that the USDA will have a slightly larger production estimate. And when it's all said and done, I won't argue with either two firms. They're excellent in their guesses.
All right. So you won't make an argument with them. What do you think your guess should be then on that side? Informa's number was up just 30 million bushels, I think.
I'm leaning a little bit to a bottom line here that Mexico, the U.S. Ag Attaché in Mexico, lowered the Mexican corn crop to 20.5 million tons. The indication is that they'll buy a total of 9.8 million tons of U.S. corn. And that tells me, as well as the Chinese corn demand at some point in time, probably will support corn values very close to this trading range that we've been seeing, something in the 6.30 area to possibly $7 over the next 3 to 6 months. Longer term, I'm a little bearish on new crop corn acres and a little bearish on new crop soybean acreage. But in the meantime, old crop corn, does have a value. And I don't see it going below 6 at this time.
You're bearish on price because you think both of those will be up, or you're bearish on the number of acres that we'll be putting in the ground?
I think I'm bearish on this tremendous acreage productivity we're going to see in the U.S. and South America for next year.
Yeah,
I think we, just for preventive planting, acreage alone in corn, I think was 2.5 million acres. That's a big incentive to at least have more corn planted this coming year.
One good year and a lot of acres puts a lot of bushels on the
ground. Well, and the other thing that we've, I think the last 3 to 5 WIL Outlook meetings we have in March, the talk of the town, or at least talk of the meeting, is that we have to buy acres, and we have to do this. And I think that that's one thing that we're not going to hear from anybody, maybe someone, but not as many people this coming March.
Yeah, so no need, you think, to buy acres. And does that come in large part because ethanol?
I think it's a case where the world, is getting back to normal production.
Right.
We're seeing South America increase their planted acreage. And, of course, we've eliminated a lot of CRP acreage, and that's encouraging planting. Our productivity ought to be going up as well.
What else are you hearing from Chicago?
Well, I think this deal with MF Global is a very interesting deal. The sad thing is it hurt so many customers and also financially. It's a shame that it can't be done quicker, and the bottom line, it's hurt a lot of nice people, and that's a shame.
It is a shame. So turn your attention to the outside markets, to some of the other markets that we deal with. I'm wondering what you think about livestock, in particular cattle prices, which are really high.
Yeah. The big factor here is that I'm hearing from the livestock people and, maybe a handful, that things do look better as far as feeding cattle.
Mm-hmm.
The profit margins look better. And, you know, wow, maybe we will see the cattleman do better. And we know that there's been some tremendous liquidation in a lot of cow herds. So maybe we will see, and some export activity to Japan and Korea. So, you know, those are both good items to look at, that we are going to see a little more profitability in the cattle sector. And that's indirectly good for the corn person.
Any final word from you before I let you go?
Have a profitable day.
You too, Paul. Thanks so much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. You can always hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or if you use a smartphone, m.willag.org. The M stands for mobile, of course. If you have a regular phone, you can hear him too. Just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail, and it's all there for you to use, not long after we finish producing our programs live on the air. It's at willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Your Director of Ag Programming is here now with a look at today's agricultural news. Please welcome Dave Dickey.
In agricultural news, leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees failed to make their self-imposed deadline for releasing a farm bill proposal yesterday. The four principal leaders on the Ag committees are still negotiating on different farm bill plans that would demonstrate a 10-year budget savings of $23 billion. There are disagreements over whether to develop a farm bill program to cover shallow losses not covered by crop insurance, or continue to have a commodity program that is not tied to crop insurance and would pay for deeper price support. A study by the United Soybean Board says that improvement and expansion of the Panama Canal is contributing to record cargo volumes that are more than 7% above last year's and nearly 3% over the previous record set in 2007. The USB projects that when a third lane of locks opens in 2014, soybean and grain volumes through the canal will increase by another 30%. South Korea will likely import less pork in 2012 than in 2011 due to lower domestic demand and its previous robust imports to make up for hogs culled to contain foot-and-mouth disease. More than 3.3 million pigs out of a herd of almost 9.9 million were culled in a foot-and-mouth disease outbreak from November to April. Increased domestic pork production led to lower domestic pork prices. A draft United Nations report 3 years in the making concludes that man-made climate change has boosted the frequency or intensity of heat waves, wildfires, floods, and cyclones, and that such disasters are likely to increase in the future. The new report's main conclusions about future trends include that it is virtually certain, 99 to 100% sure, that the frequency and magnitude of warm daily temperature extremes will increase over the 21st century on a global scale. Archer Daniels Midland Company's fiscal first quarter earnings rose 33% as a surge in agricultural services offset profitability pressure in corn and oilseed processing. The Grain Processors Agricultural Services Division, which handles and transports grain from farm to market and accounts for the largest portion of the company's earnings, reported a jump in operating profit of 85%. In the latest period, however, both the oil seeds and corn processing units struggled with margin pressure. The oil seeds processing unit's profit dropped 28%, while earnings from the corn processing business slumped 48%. For the quarter ending September 30th, the company posted a profit of $460 million, or 68 cents a share, from $345 million, or 54 cents per share a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, up next, the United States Department of Agriculture, in a cost savings measure, has been eliminating several of the reports it produces each year. I'll have more on what it might mean to Midwestern agriculture and a suggestion for a brand new report on ethanol.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
USDA has announced the elimination of some agricultural-related reports. Most of these do not deal with Midwestern agriculture, but the loss will have an impact on the market's ability to transmit good and accurate information. Thanks to University of Illinois Ag Economist Darrell Good.
Yeah, I looked at the list of reports that they're doing away with, and for the most part, those reports are associated with what we here in the Midwest would call the minor crops. Or commodities. The one that stands out, I think, important to Midwest agriculture is the mid-year cattle inventory report is going to be discontinued. That's probably the most important. But I think the major reports are going to stay in place, although we do see, I think, not from USDA, but from the Census Bureau, Department of Commerce, that they're doing away with all of their what they call their current industrial reports, which means we will no longer have the monthly soybean crush estimates and the monthly consumption estimates for soybean oil, for example. So we're going to lose quite a bit of information there, not so much from USDA in the short run, but from the Census Bureau.
Those Census Bureau reports will be missed, thanks Darrell Good. And while that's bad news, there is a report Darrell Good would like to see added to the mix. He thinks the market is in desperate need of better information on DDGs. That's a byproduct of corn ethanol production.
It would be extremely valuable if somebody could do that. I mean, we just have really not very much information on DDG production, consumption. The only decent numbers we have, again, are from the Census Bureau with their monthly exports of DDGs. And so the only way right now that people are estimating domestic consumption of DDGs is kind of a backdoor saying, well, we produced so much ethanol that obviously needed so much corn, and using some kind of conversion ratio, we say that obviously produced X amount of DDGs. Census Bureau said we exported so much, so the residual is what we think was fed domestically. And so it's completely a residual calculation without starting with a good number on how much DDGs were actually produced in any given time period.
Good thinks a case could be made for giving up even more agricultural reports in hopes of starting a DDG report. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market, and Patrick Kaufman from the Andersons Delphi facility in Indiana is on the phone line to talk with us. Good afternoon to you, Patrick.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And still have producers harvesting corn?
Yes, in our Delphi north of Lafayette area. They're about 80% done. Beans are done. We're seeing a basis increase in beans and corn as well. As you travel further north of Delphi, we're probably in that 65 to 70%. So we're on the back half of harvest here in the Delphi area, and basis feeling firmer on almost a daily basis. The flow, commercials are feeling the lighter flow, reduction of yield, guys making sure that their bins are full, even though the market is telling you to move grain. Basis in this area ranges from, 15 over to 30 over.
For corn or beans or both?
For corn.
Right.
Beans, option price to 10 over. Our cash grain bids tonight at Delphi, we're at 12 over at Delphi, 17 over at Climbers. I will give you Climbers bids. Our cash bid is at 662.
Right.
Delphi bean bid is at 1181.
Has the strengthening in the cash basis for soybeans surprised you, and is it stronger than you thought it might be, despite the fact that we're at the tail end of the harvest season, or the harvest season is wrapped up in your area?
Well, demand when harvest was started, the bean industry, the demand itself was weaker. Fall basis when harvest started was 30 to 40 under, even at processors.
Right.
When you would see corn basis at option price to 5 over in the same time frame. So what that was telling producers is, hey, do I move my beans to the farm? Because my return on space, that 40 cent under versus an option price versus my corn in that same 10,000 bushel bin is 40 cents return if I get back to option price. And in Indiana, we process more beans than we grow here in Indiana with Louis Dreyfus up north at Claypool, ADM Frankfurt, and Cargill in Lafayette, Indiana.
Yeah. So what was it that changed in that time frame? You would think that while it was weak going into harvest season, that it, even despite the fact that we're through the harvest season, that it might have weakened even more, and it has not. Why not?
Well, once beans get put in the bin, a month ago they were $14, and now they're $12. And basis was weak because when beans were ready, they were all ready at the same time. And there was a 10-day window, if you can remember, when we had beautiful, sunny, 70, 75-degree weather.
You bet.
And they were just rolling. Everybody was in beans. The beans were ready. They were all moving. Basis got weak because they were either going to go to the processors or go to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're put away, they're put away. And now the only thing that can make them move is price or basis. Price has been mild. It's actually weakened a little bit. And so in order to make a move, basis has to increase.
Thank you so much for taking the time and taking the explanation along with it, too.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Patrick Kaufman. He's at Delphi, the Andersons facility there, called the Climbers. Back in just a couple of minutes for most of you.
It's National Candy Corn Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, Andrew Jackson Downing was born. An American horticulturalist, he was the author of The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America. In 1894, the first U.S. patent for a time clock was issued to Daniel Cooper of Rochester, New York. In 1931, the DuPont Company unveiled Duprene, the first synthetic rubber. Later named neoprene, it was the first synthetic rubber that resisted oil and gasoline. In 1944, Thomas Migley Jr. died. An American engineer and chemist, he discovered the anti-knock additive for gasoline, as well as a cleaning agent called Freon, which eventually replaced toxic gases previously used in home refrigeration. And in 1950, concentrated milk was first test marketed in the U.S. The Seal Test brand, produced by the Clover Dairy Company, was made by removing water at relatively low temperatures and pressures, producing a milk that, when water was re-added, tastes just like fresh whole milk. Removing the water concentrates the milk to one-third of its original volume, yielding a heavy cream-looking milk that improved shelf life, reduced storage space, and lowered transportation costs. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated is on the phone line to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Let's start in the Midwest and those very dry regions of the Corn Belt in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska. They are complaining, and their numbers are showing that they're very short of rainfall and precipitation. And at this point, it doesn't have much impact on yield, but they are working toward next year's crop and wanting to apply anhydrous ammonia that might slow them down. What do you see?
Well, I do think that that is a bit of a concern. We do need to get some significant moisture into those areas. I think as we move further into the autumn season and start off into winter, we will see a little more precipitation occur across some of these areas. But I put that in quotation marks. We are not expecting to see a tremendous volume of storminess across the region, just enough to slowly bring up the topsoil moisture a little bit. So some of these moisture deficits that go down deep into the soil are probably going to stay with us for a while. It's going to take quite a bit of time for the subsoil to respond to any precipitation events because we don't really see a big wet weather bias pattern coming along anytime soon. So the bottom line is that we do need to maintain some level of concern, but not so much, I think, for the immediate near term as much as it is as we get into that spring season and we start being concerned about what the longer range outlook might provide for a little later in the growing season.
Have you looked out that far yet?
Well, we're in the middle of that research at the moment, and we're really going to hold back on comments until we finish that because there's still a lot of data to wade through, and I don't want to make a foolish mistake, but we'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, the scary part is in the southwestern United States where it has been very dry, and while they've gotten rainfall, it hasn't been able to replenish the subsoil moisture levels there.
That is an area that is scary now and will be scary in the spring. We're convinced of that. There's much less doubt about what we're going to see over the next few weeks in that region because it is an area that's favored to be influenced by La Nina. So the southwestern U.S. plains, and really for that matter, a big part of the southern plains in general, and extending from there all the way down into northern Mexico, we'll likely see a very limited amount of precipitation relative to normal through the late autumn and winter, meaning that all the moisture deficits that are present in all of this region will likely continue as we come into spring season. And La Nina will still be with us in the early weeks of spring, so there's very little chance we're probably going to get out of the mess. We might see some timely rain events that might offer some short-term improvement, but the bottom line for the long term is still not very good. And we do have a very serious drought all the way down into northern Mexico, and it does not look like it's going to change much.
Difficult times ahead for the hard red winter wheat crop there. Hopscotch around the globe to the other hard red winter wheat growing regions of the northern hemisphere.
Well, it still looks like China is facing some excellent conditions. I think out of all northern hemisphere crop areas, China is poised to do the best. They're getting timely rain right now. The northern crop is in the ground and established, looking good. The southern crop is going to be finished being planted in the next couple of weeks, and it has plenty of moisture to work with a little bit of rain on the way. The bigger problem area is going to be from southeastern parts of Europe through Ukraine into southern Russia. This area still has not seen any real substantial moisture, and it is going to stay rather dryish in this region through at least the first half of winter, and the odds are pretty good that we're not going to have the subsoil moisture in some of that region. Outside of that, Australia's crops look very good at the moment, and most of Western Europe is seeing some improvement. Argentina's crops are in fairly good shape, and we have some dryness in western parts of South Africa.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.